Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you want.
Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. And down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper!
Holy shit, it's Viper!
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports!
Okay, guys, can anybody hear me now?
I can hear now.
Okay, I can barely hear you guys. I had to call on the phone here. Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Can
anybody hear me? I can hear, but Skeet, you're coming out really
okay.
Blurry.
Okay.
It's faded too.
Yeah, there's multiple issues.
I can hear Seth really well.
Talk radio, you're doing
technical
again.
Difficulty.
I don't understand it. Come on, guys. Stop with this. I don't know what's going on. But too many of these problems. Anyway, let's forget about all the evil in the world. And if you've been paying attention late, there's been a lot of it. And there's evil going on right now. So it's just the way it is. But we're going to talk about sports. Now, I'm going to bitch, testimony, and complain here for just a little bit. And then we're going to have to move on to March Madness because we got the game starting here real soon. We still, in between that time, we still got the NFL to talk about. We got Green Bay where they settle and let Rodgers go. And of course, you know, whatever may arise at the time. But right now, what they're doing to the game of baseball, and Seth, I think you're probably going to jump in here because you know what I'm feeling. I feel like I've lost my old dog. I mean, I'm trying to watch the game last night. And the first time I've ever watched a Major League Baseball game, and I was feeling, I'm like bored. It didn't have the right pace. It didn't have the right, you know, the movement, the rules that they had. And Showalter, the first play of the game, Showalter, he challenges it, and you only get one challenge. And since he lost it, and it took like 10 minutes for these guys to call the bat cave, warm up the bat computer, and figure out whether the guy was safe or out. And it was so close that you can call it either way, and it was ridiculous that Showalter could even challenge it. That was stupid.
Well,
but
the way you're
presenting
this argument, the way you're presenting this argument as a purist, and I am with you, but isn't ironic that they also brought up this pitch clock?
Don't get me started. That's another thing.
So I'm just saying, you do these things. You have a review. You want to make the game faster because you brought in a pitch clock count.
Well, here's what happened last night. This is another thing that I couldn't watch anymore. I had to turn it off. Well, there's another thing with the first base, and that was the umpire getting back at Showalter for challenging him. And since he lost his challenge, the guy was getting picked off, and the Mets did. This pitcher, he picked him off, Pins or whatever his name is. He picked him off, and you could definitely tell because the glove came down and hit the guy's fingers and bent him all the way back, and then he touched the bag, and the umpire was saying, Showalter, don't ever challenge me unless you have something, because that one was, you could go either way. But anyway, that pitch clock, one of the Mets players didn't get back to the base, I guess, in time to start the pitch clock, so they gave the hitter a strike. So he went from 0-0
to 0-2. He was the first guy.
Well, yes.
Okay, what happened to your bottom of the ninth, and you're down by one, and you got the bases loaded, and you got a slugger from hell up the bank, and he's got two strikes on him, and he gets that strike without throwing a pitch, and the game is over, and you lose? You really think that's going to go over pretty well? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to go over very well at all. And that's just stupid to even do that. This stupid guys, and I checked up the list. There are a lot of guys. Some of them even go 30 seconds, and they make a living. And these are good pitchers. Papelbon, what's his name from the Orioles and then the Yankees, Mussina. Sometimes that guy would take all damn day. That's their strategy. And this is the problem. They're taking out the strategy. They're taking out the elements of the game. It's boring. They want everything just – they only want the highlights. Nobody wants to see in between the highlights.
Actually, and Ski, we are talking baseball, we're talking time management is what we're really talking about. Time management.
I know.
And as of a rule of thumb, this new rule has only sped up the game as an average, as of today, not through a whole season, by 5 minutes per game. That's it. There you go, people.
Well, first of all, there's no reason. People, that's what I'm talking about. People only want to see the highlights. They don't want to see what's in between. Well, that's what the game is. You're taking the mental aspect of the game completely out of it. Because, you know, you can't have – and that guy with the Marlins, his earpiece kept falling out the catcher, which I don't like that either because, look, that's part of the game. The opposition is supposed to try to steal your signs. That's part of the game. You're doing it to them. They're doing it to you. That's part of the game. And if you don't want people to steal your signs, get better signs. Don't get mad at the team who stole them. Get mad at yourself for having crappy signs and not changing up.
No, I think baseball just became like a culmination of the video games in real life. And now all of a sudden, you can just hit buttons on the rest. And no one else knows your sign but the pitcher and the catcher. And it's going to get more technical than that eventually. But, yeah, that's where it's at right now if people don't realize. If they don't realize.
I just want the highlights. Just push the button and just give me the highlights. I don't want to have to sit through the, you know. Well, that's why it's called a pastime. I mean, you remember, Seth, when you were here, and we watched plenty of Yankee games, and there was plenty of Yankee Red Sox games. And look, they would have a doubleheader, and a four-hour, nine-inning game was not uncommon for those
games. And you know what, Ledski, when we were watching those games, and it was anybody playing the Red Sox, we rooted for a certain team every single time, both of us. It was natural.
Well, it was exciting because it was a good – and look, so it went 4 hours. So what? You got 4 hours of good baseball, man. I mean, it's like a bonus. But people know, hey, what are you doing? 2 hours. It's so long. Well, you got somewhere else more important to go to than go to it. Turn the game off, for God's sake. Someone's got a gun to your head making you watch it. I mean – I just don't understand why this infatuation with everything's got to be done right now. That's not part of the game. That's not baseball. Baseball's supposed to take a long time.
No, and seriously, I don't know how many times now that people will ever do doubleheaders, and they might have to do them only at the end to catch up on some games or something like that. But it was the greatest thing as a little kid, just, you know, 9, 10, 11. And
hey, I remember going
you,
to the Portland.
You bought one ticket, and it was good for both games, dude. You were there, dude. And they might
That's
be different seats
we went,
on the second game. That's cool.
Well, we would go to the Civic Center there in Portland, Oregon, and we'd watch a doubleheader of the Portland Beavers, and then Jimmy Buffett would come out and play. I mean, that was a great day. You saw a doubleheader of minor league baseball, which is a lot of fun. They were 9 innings, and the second one was like 7, because that's when they had to get Jimmy in there. So, but still, it was 9 or 7 innings.
No, but it's Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
I mean, it might as well be Neil Diamond. It might as well be, you know.
No, I'm a parrot head, man. I'm a parrot head. Oh, yeah. No, I am.
Yeah, you're a port person.
I got the stars to prove it, too. Believe
you're
me,
a port person.
But no, I mean, we're going to have to get to March Madness here, sports on tonight. But I mean, you know, it's like it breaks my heart. I just miss the game of baseball. I mean, because, you know, it's got to have that slower kind of pace. Because you could get up, go to the bathroom, go get another beer, make a sandwich, you know, come back.
Well,
a lot of times you didn't really miss very much.
Well,
so, you know, you have that leisure.
If I can at least explain it in a really quick, short period of time, is that we're baseball purists and we don't like any rule change ever. And that's what keeps the game more awesome and legit. It's just,
it's
past their point time now, Pete. It's done. Baseball's done.
We can't complain about it because nobody wants to hear it. It's like, oh, what are you bitching about? Oh, that, you know, stop complaining. What do you mean stop complaining? I mean, look what they're taking away. They're taking away this. They're taking away that. I mean, next thing you know, what else are they going to take away and just going to say, oh, well, let them take it? I mean, this is completely destroying the game. I'm sorry, but I don't understand. Maybe it might be because there's no fans coming into the stands. I mean, the TV ratings are going down. They're losing stuff, but they keep changing. And it's like, what are you doing? What audience are you looking for? And I don't understand. I thought the game, it didn't have the right pace. It needs to have that slower pastime pace, man. People need to slow down. I think we need to get more people getting stoned. More people need to smoke some pot and slow down. That's all I'm saying. But no, I'm not telling you go do drugs. I'm just saying, that's metaphorically is what I'm saying, you know. Slow down. You don't need the game, you know, 30 seconds. But anyway, Viper, I'm sorry. Me and Seth had to get a little bit of that off our chest. But
no, Viper,
well, hey,
you know, you guys act like I'm not a
He was a baseball junkie, dude. Yeah, of course. He's an 84
No. What I'm saying is,
he had no idea he loved baseball. This guy loves baseball.
What I was saying is, Viper, you know, even though you're still astute of the game. So you may not, may not be your number one game. I know, but you are astute of it. And I want to hear real briefly before we get to March Madness, but what is your take on this and the feel of the game and what me and Seth were talking about? What's your feel of it?
Well, my big thing, you make a rule change, you know, the goal is to make it better, to make the sport better, to make the experience better. And I'm just not convinced that this is happening. Seth is right. The speeding up of the game has only been 5 minutes thus far. Now, the numbers, according to the minor leagues where they ran this last season, on average, it saved 26 minutes per game. Okay.
Well, that's minor.
Is that
league
really? Right. And that's, you know, minor league doesn't have TV timeouts. It doesn't have a lot of stuff. So,
yeah, exactly.
My big thing is this really going to help anything? My personal opinion is it's not going to help the game. But for example, they took out the shifting of players. When they did that, that's a rule that I think is good because it improved the offense, which is what people want to come see. They want to come see runs scored. They want to see hits happen. They want to see people on base. So when rule changes make a significant
No, I'm just saying.
What was that?
Go ahead, Viper. I didn't interrupt. Go ahead.
No, but if the rule changes make the game better, I'm all favor of them. But let's rewind. Let's rewind back in the day, late 70s, early 80s. Okay, how many wins did the legendary Dean Smith tack on his record because there was no shot clock and he ran the four corners offense for the last 3 minutes of the game? Okay? No one today is going to go back and say, well, Dean Smith got 300 and some wins without a shot clock. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody does say that.
No, okay, no, so, Viper, and I will elaborate upon that position, that I have seen actually official scores recorded in basketball. So 4-2. 4-2.
Right.
What is that about? That's not basketball at all. That's not.
Well, and I think the contention I have, you asked for a brief assessment. I don't think that is baseball's woes. Nor do I think it's going to be a large percentage of impact on the outcome of the game. I think it's a small percentage. I think it's part of it. I think an element, yes, from a pure standpoint, has been lost. But it's not that's not the biggest issue facing baseball. And you look at what's happening in Oakland. I posted the article to you guys. Opening day attendance was horrific in Oakland. There's talk of moving to Las Vegas. The problem with baseball is not the shot, a pitch clock. The problem with baseball is the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And unless you're L.A., Boston, or New York, or on occasion Chicago, there's not enough fan base for the sport.
No, and we can go back 2 decades.
Because you can't afford it.
We're talking about luxury tax. Dude, teams pay luxury tax. What does that even mean? You're screwed. There's no cap in baseball, dude. There's no cap in baseball.
So I think baseball's issues are not solved by a pitch clock.
Well, a lot of guys, again, that strategy they're taking out. Because a lot of guys made a living, a good living, at, you know, taking forever to pitch because you're playing mind games with the batter. That's part of the game. You're taking the mind out of the game. Again, people just want to see, like Seth was talking about, they just want to see that video game. Just push them buttons and get the players going. I mean,
well how many seconds is the pitch clock? How many seconds is the pitch clock?
I don't know. But they penalize. What this is crazy.
It's 20 something. It's like 24, 21. It's something like that.
Okay. Well, the shot clock in college basketball was 45 seconds. It started with that, and now it's down to 30. And so maybe they'll discover that it needs to be longer or shorter, but. Honestly, I don't think it takes that much out of the game. I think there's other things that are far worse. And, you know,
the problem is there's different strategies for different pitchers. So every pitcher is going to be either his strategy is he's going to go pitch it quick and not give you any time to think. The other strategy is the guy's going to take a long time to get you to thinking because then you're thinking now and now you don't know what's coming and boom, he wins.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like a pitcher like Justin Verlander can pitch faster than you can believe every single time he gets the ball. And you look at these things or this or that, and you're like, you can't make these adjustments even as a hitter because this dude – is a Tom Glavin or Greg Maddux or whatever. He's the best of the best. And this guy is faster than what you're used to.
That's how he played. Other players play it different. And that, again, that's a strategy that the pitcher needs because that's his job. He's got to mind screw the other guy so he doesn't get a hit. That, the pitcher has a big responsibility. So he has to have his own style. That's part of the game. It's part of being on the team. You got guys who are different, and it screws up the other hitters because if they're used to one guy pitching every time, they're going to be able to learn it and hit. So you got knuckleballers. You got this guy. You got a guy that does this. You got a specialty. You got a this. You got a that. That's all part of the game. But you're taking all that element part out. It's just, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Why does time have to be a factor? That's my problem. I can't understand the time part. Who cares? 4 hours? Okay, you got to go to work the next morning. You got to go to bed to go to bed. Check the highlights the next morning. Don't worry about it. Shut up. So, anyway, good God, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on, but it ain't going to change nothing. It is what it is. But we do have March Madness starting tonight. I'm trying to find the link to find a game. I can watch it.
Well, it's 14-10. San Diego State leads Florida Atlantic right now.
And UConn starts, UConn and I think Miami, they start well, at 8, I think, Eastern.
8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, yeah.
No, and one of the great things about this March Madness is no number one, no number twos, and no number threes. This is it. This is the final.
Well, look at
you.
I mean, they're nine.
I think UConn has to be a favorite, and everybody wants FAU to win.
Right, because they're the, you know, this the at least the underdog now. You know, if you're going to go by, you know, their seed. But you get in the tournament, you can't go by the seed. You got to go by, how are they playing? What are they doing? Don't look at the number. Look at the team. Look what they're doing. So that's how you got to, you know, deal with kind of a tournament, you know.
Oh, but, no, but out of the final four, you are the number nine seed. Number nine. You ain't supposed to be here either. That is a team that can win it all. It can.
Yeah,
well,
you were number
nine
in the regular season, but when you're in the postseason, it's a completely different season. So that number nine, you can't look at that number. I mean,
well, I think the discussion needs to happen, and everyone's celebrating this. I'm not saying it's not good for college basketball. Yes, it's good, but is what's happened this year with Purdue losing to a 16 seed, with all the number ones and all the number twos eliminated, going in the Final Four, and all the upsets that we saw, is this an indictment on the committee and how they are picking teams? Because clearly they're not accurately picking. That's good. My question.
Yeah, good question.
Did FAU, with all the wins they had this year, get the respect they deserve and should have been a higher seed? Is number nine really indicative of who they are?
Well,
you
know, college basketball and March Madness is the hardest thing to really predict in any of this stuff. To be honest,
I know there's too many teams to put them in numbers. So you go by stats, and a lot of times stats don't tell you. You know, they don't tell the real story. Sometimes they tell a good story, and you need them. You need the stats to, you know. But sometimes, you know, throw your curveball.
Well, for example, years ago they didn't have all these quad one, quad two wins. They didn't have strength, they didn't factor in strength of schedule all the time. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of bias with what I would call the blue bloods of college basketball. You know, that's why I was a little bit happy that UNC didn't make it in, because UNC didn't deserve to be in. I'm frustrated that, of all places, Rutgers didn't make it in because they deserve to be in. But That's where I question the accuracy of the committee.
Yeah, he's a constant rocker. So yeah,
I mean, I root for
like that. Yeah, okay.
No, that's not. I don't root for them. I'm like, they had a good. They beat Purdue. They beat Michigan State. They beat a lot of teams that made the tournament. So why weren't they in the tournament? I don't know. But clearly Purdue maybe didn't deserve to be number one. Maybe the team that beat them didn't deserve to be number 16. Maybe that team was better. Maybe Princeton should have got more respect. They were 15. So that's the question I have.
They certainly didn't get it very accurate because there were 15s beating 5s and 7s, and there was, you know, all kinds of numbers like that. So,
right.
You know, they just didn't get it right. I mean, they guessed as good as they could based on basically the data that they have in front of them. So, I mean,
yeah,
or
but,
maybe they're just
I can guarantee you, though, when you play basketball team, what's really weird that a lot of people don't want to tell you about in sports is you don't need 5 people on your team. That's it. You don't even need much sleep. 5 people. That's how
well,
you win
maybe
everything
there is,
in basketball, dude. Everything.
You know, some gambling going on, and they want to put a different seed to put a different team against another team because, you know, they're trying to – but the gambling up there, I mean, that's just my sinister side coming out. But, I mean, college basketball does have a history of manipulating, you know, scores and whatnot. So
I played with the whole basketball team that were me and my brothers. So, yeah. Yeah. You win. Everything's fine.
Well, and I'm not saying that the committee is doing these things on purpose. But I do think there's a factor in play of, you know, is it possible that they want these upsets to happen? I mean, are they looking to make upsets happen? I mean, everyone likes an upset. It's good for viewership. You know, are they really putting teams where they should be, or are they doing it to enhance the viewership and attendance?
That's what I don't know.
That's what I call in a question.
They're doing it to, you know, for gambling, but, I mean, they are doing it deliberately to, they want to make the games the way they want to make the games. They're trying to, it's a script. They're trying to make as much excitement as they possibly can. I mean, but, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, as if March Madness now the WWF. I mean, you know, it's all scripted. You know, it's all part of a storyline they want to tell. You know, that's my question.
No, and the WWF would have been something, but now it really converted to WWE. So
oh, that's right.
You're
World
a lot older than
my fault.
What other people think about. But it's cool. It's okay.
The World Wildlife Foundation. I forgot they lost that lawsuit. My bad.
Well, I think I can get the game coming on here. Let's see what it is now. It's 18-17. FAU is up. And the stream doesn't work. But no, I mean, UConn has always been up there, though. I remember hearing that name a lot over the years, and even Miami. So I think that's going to be your better game. I mean, FAU, though, is starting to be the, you know, most a lot of people are talking about it. They're the favorite, you know, just because of the way they're playing. And, hey, the way they're playing, you know. And when you got a team that's on a roll, man, it's hard to stop them.
No, the crazy thing about the FAU team right now is that one of those players actually visited the campus and they just signed on sight unseen.
And how many kids on that team came through the transfer portal? I know the Russian center did.
Viper, you probably know more information than I do, but I'm just saying that's what I knew. Not one of them. Not one of them, dude.
Well, that's recruiting today. It's amazing enough.
No, not one person stepped on that campus. Oh,
so you're saying they're all
four basketball team.
So you said they don't go to college? They're just, they're ringers? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. College basketball is a one and done. Everything. It doesn't even matter. No one knows who's going to have the best program per year in college basketball because of the one and done. Hey, where do you want to end up? All five of these great basketball players end up in Boca Raton, Florida, and it's paradise. You know, that'd be awesome.
It certainly isn't St. Petersburg, Russia. But
Chicago White Sox. Yeah, you screwed the Tampa Bay Rays by 8-10 years. So that's cool.
Anyway,
well,
I'm going to forego picking these games because my bracket was so horrible. I'm not even going to embarrass myself trying to pick the Final Four and Finals.
Well, go Costanza. Just pick the complete opposite of what you would normally pick, and you're going to pick them right.
No,
Miami and
no,
San Diego State.
Right now, I'm going to celebrate Festivus. Right?
Yep.
Should I not? Oh, no. Oh, you people think you understand Seinfeld. That's fine. Let's just keep going.
I can't find a stream. Well, give me the game. I want to watch. I got a sports stream that gives everything, but on March Madness, they won't do it. Because they know that it's, you know, people are going to be watching it. They want you to pay for it, I guess, or something. Oh, well. Let's see what the score is now.
26 all.
26 all. There you go. I wish I could get a stream to watch this game. I want to see this. This is going to be a good game. I think FAU, man, I mean, the way they're talking and the way they're playing, I mean, they just play. They're on a roll. And sometimes you can see that. And you can see a team. Like, you know, we've all seen teams that they're on a roll at the very beginning, and, you know, yeah, they're going all the way. You could just you can see it. You know? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get there, but, I mean, they got a pretty good chance. Let's put it that way. Let's try this, see if we get a stream. It's only on CBS. I can't get a CBS stream now for whatever reason. I can get a ticker on ESPN, I think. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is Miami-Dallas. That's not it. We got a bunch of Spanish basketball. We got that going, but not March Madness. You would think you would want everybody to watch it. And this link I have covers every sport. I mean, I can watch any sport, horse racing, this, that, you name it. But sometimes the big games, they won't let you see, I guess. I don't know. Well, ESPN is way behind. They got 23-24. That was an hour ago. Come on, man. Let's see if we get a game cast. See if we get that up. I don't know. Viper, you got the game on, or?
I do.
Oh, well, give us some.
It's not commercial. 26 all.
In, man, jump in.
It's not commercial. 26 all right now.
Well, that's good. I mean, is there anybody, you know, are there anything outstanding that you're seeing? Are both defenses doing good? Are both offenses, you know, are they both, like, aggressive?
Well, FAU seems to be rebounding and getting a little more second chances, a little more hustle. But it's been San Diego State been in the lead most of the time with FAU catching up to them, keeping it close. So as long as it stays close, anyone can win the game.
My question right now is San Diego State trying to really run, you know what I mean?
They are not. They seem to be okay in a half-court set.
Oh, okay.
They're not pushing tempo too much.
Well, we'll see what happens at that point then.
And so now the question is going to be, Dusty May, the coach at Florida Atlantic, does anyone foresee him staying at Florida Atlantic after their season ends? I will bet $100 some other school is going to hire him. Some Power 5 school, almost guaranteed.
No, what you've already done is you got yourself to the Final Four, right? Like, it's the stock market as a coach. Man, you are the hottest thing since sliced bread. Just do whatever, whatever happens, this or that, get in, get
and
out, and get, like, a 2-3-5-year deal. That's what you can do.
You got to strike while the iron's hot because it may not ever come again.
2-3-5. Yeah, no one even talks about the 10 anymore, dude. They don't.
I think I might have something here. No, I do not. No, I do not. What a pity. What a pity. Well, in the NFL, where we're waiting for some more updates, it looks like now Green Bay, the Packers, are actually holding this up because they want pick compensation, meaning the trade picks, I guess, are not good enough. Or the draft picks aren't good enough, or they want more money, or they want this. And it's like, I think Green Bay is a little pissed at Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers can be that kind of a guy that can, you know, he can get under your skin if he wants to, you know, because he's just that kind of a, he doesn't really care, and I'm me, and I don't really care what you think or what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I think Green Bay is screwing with it. I really do. I really think they're screwing with him, just like the Lions did to Barry Sanders. So, but now I guess Jackson, a lot of people are talking about Jackson instead of Rodgers. Jets could be going after Jackson, you know, but it's your NFL, man.
And hey, you don't know how this all works out in the NFL and how these trades work out. But just per se, Lamar Jackson goes to the Green Bay Packers. He's a quarterback. He is the quarterback.
Well,
Green Bay
is automatically
an automatic playoff team right now.
Well, I don't know. Well, Jackson has more years than Rodgers. Let's face it, Rodgers got 1-2 years tops, really seriously. You know, so I think Green Bay is screwing with him and trying to force him to just retire. I think that's what ultimately is going to end up happening. So the Jets, I better, you know, I mean, the Jets have got to start thinking. I know they got a little time before the draft, but, you know, they got to figure this out, you know, pretty soon. You know what I'm saying? They got to start figuring some stuff out because the time,
you know,
the clock is ticking.
Lamar Jackson might be the quarterback for the Giants or the Jets.
No, no, the Giants already signed Daniel Jones.
NFC Championship. Very, very.
Well, I mean, look, it's a balancing kind of a delicate dance going on right now because you still have you got a couple of weeks, 3 weeks before the draft, so you can't really go too much more than now. You got to start figuring out. I mean, the Jets, there's a lot of things going on before draft day, and you're still studying these guys, and you're going to make the right decision, so you're still working, and you got to have a quarterback in mind before you start doing other things, and, you know, time is running out. And, you know, the Jets have got to look at it as, hey, man, either poop or walk, you know, we're done. We got to think of ourselves. I mean, the Jets can't wait forever.
No, and what's so sad is Jets fans, if they're listening right now, it was Vinny and the Jets.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was horrible, dude.
Well, he came back after being retired for, like, what, 2 years or something like that. It was almost pathetic, but it was pretty cool to watch him come back. I don't mind them old-timers coming back and trying to do another year. What the hell? I don't mind it. If you can do it, do it. But the Jets, you know, the Jets are a team that wants to win. They're trying their best to put a team together. And I'm not even a Jets fan, but they're trying to put a team together, and they are putting a pretty good team together. And they're trying to get this quarterback situation done because I think they're trying to get a Super Bowl before it's time. You know, if you really think about it, I think the Jets should build. Well, they got rid of the guy that replaced Wilson, which I don't know why they did. They could have built him. But they want to go, you know, the fast track to the Super Bowl. And I think it could backfire if they're not careful. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think the thing with the Jets is they had probably the best draft last year I've ever seen one team have in a long time. I mean, they drafted the defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner and the offensive rookie of the year in wide receiver Garrett Wilson. I'm just like, and then they got all the pieces in between that. So all they've got to do is shore up their offensive line and get a QB, and they're going to be in phenomenal shape. I mean, they actually have a nucleus in place that in the next 2 to 3 years as they grow and mature, they are going to be contenders. So I don't blame them for doing what they're doing. I don't think Rodgers' deal is going to be done for at least a month or two. And I think right now it's largely due to the asking price by Green Bay. I think Green Bay wants to move on. I don't think they're going to try and keep him around. It does them no good to have him retire. They're not trading him to a conference rival or a division rival. So they don't care. They're never going to see Rodgers again. So I just think right now the asking price is too big, and they're trying to work out those deals. And the only fly in the ointment is going to be
Well, will the Jets, like, maybe go after Lamar Jackson and screw up the Rodgers deal because Green Bay's dragging his feet? I don't know. We're going to find out, but I definitely don't
see... Green Bay wants draft picks, so they've got to get this done before the draft. And the draft's
right.
The 27th.
Yeah,
so
it could be a draft day move, too.
Right, and there could be, but, I mean, you know, the Jets have got to start going here because and Green Bay, I think they're dragging their feet. They're getting back at Aaron Rodgers and trying to force him out that way because if they're wanting draft picks, okay, after the draft, then what do they got to trade Rodgers with? Nothing. Do you think a team is going to give a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of other players that they just built, they just
nope.
drafted, and they just formed? They're not going to give those guys up. So
nope.
deal is done. They don't make it before draft day. It's over. I don't know. This is the drama that I love. Off-season NFL drama because it never doesn't satisfy. Let's put it that way. Keeps you on your toes. So it could be an interesting draft.
Speaking of that, how do we like that article I shared with the Lions grabbing Cam Newton?
What? I didn't see that.
You didn't see?
I
shared that article in the group text. Seth, you saw
it,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. I didn't see it. Oh, because I just typed in. I had to call in. I just quickly typed in. I didn't have a chance to see it. But so no kidding. Wow.
Yep. Apparently the Lions and Cam Newton himself was shocked that a deal got worked out.
Well, obviously he's a backup. I mean, it's not right.
Well, of course. And then as I read the article, I realized what date it was.
What was it?
It's April 1st, everybody.
Oh, God, April Fools. Oh, my God, I forgot April Fools. Oh, good one. Oh, man.
I bought it. I bought it until I read the bottom of the article. I have to admit it.
That's right. And I know.
Hey, I got Brother
but
X
hey,
on
you know,
that one time.
But, hey, you know.
I got him good. Russell Wilson and, oh, no, I had a good thing. And, oh, yeah, I got them all. So,
well, nothing beats the best April Fool's sports trick ever, being the baseball purist. What am I going to say?
Nope, that was a good one.
No, what was the best April Fool's joke in sports ever?
Best April Fool's joke in sports. So obviously a team, an athlete did it to somebody.
Come on, Seth. You know what it is.
And yeah.
For our X-Gen listeners out there, if you recall, back in 1983-ish, when the Cubs were actually strong, Sports Illustrated does its legendary Sid Finch April Fool's joke. And if you're younger and don't know this, Google it. Because everyone bought it. I was getting Sports Illustrated via the mail. And legendary joke. No one let the cat out of the bag for weeks. And the prank had news media going crazy. The New York Mets found a guy that can throw a left-hander that could throw a fastball 110 miles an hour. It's the legend of Sid Finch. So if you're younger and weren't around for that, you got to look that up. It's one of the most classic April Fool's jokes ever.
I think I remember hearing something about something like that. But, you know, I mean, to do that, you know, for Sports Illustrated to do that, I mean, they obviously had a, you know, way planned because it used to come out. Didn't it come out like once a week? Or was it once a month? It came out more frequently than a month. But I remember, what was that publication used to come out like? I don't remember, but no, Sports Illustrated used to be a really good magazine. I remember seeing Nolan Ryan when he threw the fastest pitch and at the time, and I guess they redid it and calibrated it, and it was actually like 111. It was some stupid number like that, but I mean, who knows? I mean, hey, look, you're throwing 100 miles an hour. It doesn't really matter how much faster it goes than that, you know? You're going to have to really work and be really good to get on top of that, period. You know, and it's not going to be an easy chore. So if you got a guy that can hurl that fast, you know, the guy you want. But I can't remember what's his name, Andolphus. I can never remember his name. I can never pronounce it. He's got the record now for the fastest pitch.
Well,
yeah, his first name.
He's now Chapman and Hunter. Hunter also has 105. So,
yeah.
Fastest in baseball, period.
And you can't hit that, man. I mean, you gotta luck out. You gotta, you know, timing. I mean, timing.
105? You swing for the heaven and hope to hit it. That's it. 105?
Well, that's
you ain't hitting that. You ain't hitting that.
And you hope it doesn't end up in your ear.
You know, swing hard in case you hit it.
Swing hard and get ready to duck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to picture, you know, the true wild, like your Nolan Ryans and your Randy Johnsons. I mean, you got a tall, lanky guy like Randy Johnson. He had that long hair, and he was ugly. And you got that ugly mug with the long, sweaty hair and the evil eyes, and he's about 19 feet tall, and he's staring you down. See, they're trying to take that part out of the game, and that's all the whole mental part. And he'd stare you down, and you never know where that ball was coming from. And that ball, you know, if he's getting pissed at you and he throws inside, then you got to be pretty quick or you're losing your chin or a nose or an eye or an ear, you know. And those bad boys used to play, you know, without a helmet. And hockey goalies used to play without a helmet. You want to talk about, man, good God.
I can't imagine facing a hockey puck without a helmet or a face mask. That's insane.
Hey, they did it up until, you know, I mean, some of these guys even in the early 70s. When they started realizing,
in one day and didn't miss a shift. Draper for the Red Wings. Dude, that's how good the Red Wings were for a while, dude. In hockey, they were the best team of the best. They were the Yankees of hockey. They really were.
Yep. That was Gordie Howe. He played without a helmet. He didn't care. He was tough, and he was a fighter, man. He was old school hockey. But now hockey is getting, I don't know what they're getting. I might have a link. No, I don't. I don't know. Come on, man. Just want to watch the game. That's all I want to do.
40-33, Florida Atlantic's come out to the lead. Halftime.
Wow. So they went ahead that far, huh?
Yeah, up by 7, largest lead of the game right now.
Well, this link might come in and it might not. I don't know. Well, you go into the locker room with a 7-point lead. You know, you're on a roll. You feel good. You just can't lose it. Sometimes you can lose that. You got to keep that up, man. And the other team's got to pick it up. But 7 points could be a lot, or it could be nothing at all. It's basketball. You just don't know. No, this does not seem to be working. Unbelievable. Oh, let's see. What's about? I don't have anything else here. We're talking about NFL, March Madness. I can still bitch complain about baseball, but I don't think that's going to do any good. But, oh, God, another link you can't get. Oh, well, looks like I just can't get it. I'll just have to get the ticker board. 40-33. Yep, I'm telling you, FAU, they're on a roll. But Miami and UConn, I think that's going to be a good game. Something tells me that's going to come down to a wire. You know what I mean? But this one, it looks like FAU is pulling ahead, and San Diego State is pretty much, unless they can turn it around and say, hey, I'm not giving up. You never know. Anybody hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wow. The only guy talking here. Jump in. The sports show is supposed to be talking. No's got nothing to say? Well, now there's all kinds of stuff going on. Vibe, what's going on in the drug world with the Russians and the bicyclists and the anything more on that? We lose Viper?
Oh, I'm Hello? Sorry. Yeah, I had it on mute. I had it on mute because of the dog barking.
Oh, I was saying, you know.
No, I mean, as a dog park, though, at least it's like, you know, suburban stuff. That's cool.
The what?
What was that stuff?
Suburban stuff for your dog park.
Really? Oh, okay. I didn't understand a damn word you said. I don't know, Viper, maybe you heard it.
We're talking sports right now. Yeah, let's go there. Let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What are we talking about?
That's all I'm saying. I mean, talk. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, we still got football. We still got, you know, even though we're in halftime, I mean, is there anything that, you know, that you can report on the halftime, on what we saw in the first half? You know, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about. We just need to talk about it.
Well, I do know I was a little surprised last week. The former tight end, I think he was with the Broncos, Shannon Sharp, right? Am I right, Seth? You hate the Broncos, you would know.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp is one of the best I've ever.
Yeah,
Great.
He's doing podcasts and interviews and stuff. Anyway, he was ranting and raving last week because Deshaun Watson, this is his words. He said Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes ruined the contract for Lamar Jackson. And the reason they ruined it is because they took less guaranteed money to help their teams sign more players. And so Shannon Sharpe's contention is because Patrick Mahomes wants to win and Deshaun Watson wants to win, they've screwed over Lamar Jackson from getting his huge payday because now Lamar Jackson can't demand the most money that he's worth.
That is,
I think that tells you that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
What I want to ask is, that person asked for too much money and no one wants to play with them anyways.
Right.
Then
how'd that really work out? Too much money. Jackson's not worth what he's asking for. No team is biting, but the Jets may have to just settle because, and then maybe try to do something later, maybe in a year or two. They got a young buck now, this Stressler or whatever his name is, Strevesser. There's something I can't, you know, I looked at it today and, you know, I mean, I looked at his record. He's had a few games before he was traded. So he's played some games in the NFL. I think he's got like 12. And you look at his stats, I mean, he was 10 for 15. He was 6 for 9, 5 for like 8 or something like that. And, you know, you look at him, he's got over 660-something percentage. But he's only had a handful of games. So, you know, worst comes to worst, you can try to, you know, put him out there. Who the hell is he? But if the Jets, they don't get Aaron Rodgers, I don't think Jackson's going to be the answer because, you know, if Jackson feels that he's not getting paid enough, you think he's going to go out there and give 110%? No. He'll take his money, you know. He'll probably get $20 million.
He'll take his money and he'll sit in the training room and make a big payday. Speaking of which, another interesting note. Guess who made $30 million today?
It ain't me
or you two, unfortunately.
It ain't me, I'll tell you that.
Today, Matt Stafford made $30 million.
Oh, God. Is he even going to play?
I don't know, but that was all part of the deal.
It sounds like Guaranteed.
It was part of the deal to cover his $60 million, but defer half of it to this NFL season so it wouldn't hit the salary cap too heavy.
No, but whatever the Rams did for the trade picks, their actual chance, they want a Super Bowl within that 2-year period. They did. Totally worth it, dude. Does not matter what you think about anything in the NFL. They won the Super Bowl. That's your objective, period.
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard this. The NFL is trying to have an expansion league overseas. But they're trying to, like, incorporate this basically like a division. And so they would play. They'd come over here. We'd go over there. They're trying to work this whole thing out, and they're trying to do it in, like, they don't know if they can get it done in 2 or 5 years. I don't care if you have an expansion league, you know, but not an international division. They want to do a division. And you want to have an international league, I think it's great. You should play football, but play it over there. I mean, they're going from, you know, Europe to here. I mean, say whatever you want, but that is a very long plane ride. And, you know, I mean, I just think it's, I don't know. I don't mind the exhibition kind of games, and I don't mind having a couple of games overseas, whatever. But, you know, to make it a full thing, well, I mean, if they can do it, I mean, I don't know. But who's going to be the division that goes over there? See, this is what they got. Unless you can't have another division, because then you'd have to have two divisions, one for the NFC and one for the AFC. So, I mean, what do you do with that? If you were going to do it, let me ask you this, Viper. If you were going, you were the guy in charge, said, okay, we want an international division. Now, how are you going to put this together? Would you ask certain teams if you want to move? But, you know, how many are you going to find teams that are going to want to move to Europe? Who? How many players are going to want to move to Europe? Seriously.
Well, none, considering the tax code. I mean, that's why so many Canadian players want to play in the U.S. for hockey. I mean, who mm-hmm. would want to move there? And then there was talk years ago about Mexico City getting an NFL team. All right, well, let's look at that today. Okay, we have Americans getting killed on camera.
Exactly.
Drug cartels kidnapping them and decapitating people. Which athletes in America are going to want to go play in Mexico City? Absolutely zero. So I don't see anyone wanting to do that. I mean, I think, like most things, it's a great place to visit, but none of them want to live there.
Yeah, well, that's a big consideration. And then you got to consider, well, what teams are going to move over there? And again, if you're going to have one division, you're going to have two, one for each conference. And now that's eight teams. You can, you go, how are you going to get, no, I don't, you're going to water down the league. The league is just going to be, it's just going to be terrible. It's horrible. It's a stupid idea. And even if you want to take one division out of each conference, okay, where are you going to find a division that's going to agree to that? Good luck. I don't know. But, I mean, quit. This is what I'm talking about, the whole thing. It's all sports. Quit trying to reinvent the friggin' game. It's already been invented. It works. All you got to do is play by it. You don't need to keep coming up with these gimmicks, these gimmick rules and this and that, and trying to adjust the time and trying to adjust this and adjust. Let it play out. It's part of the game. And if people want to bitch, piss, and moan, it's too long, then, I don't know, find something else to do with your time. Stay home and needlepoint. I don't know. Get a hobby. I don't know. Become a crack whore. I don't care what you do. But stop.
Well, the problem is they're constantly trying to expand their fan base. And I get it. I mean, you do want to expand your fan base, especially when you've got so many people that don't mind watching on 4D TV and not paying tickets. But it's got to be within realism. It's got to be,
right?
You know, the old adage of you're either getting better or you're getting worse is true, okay? But what moves are you making? Is that really improving the game? And it goes back to the discussion about baseball. What are you doing to improve baseball? How are you making it better? And is it a game that's going to survive? You know, I don't know. It's possible it may not survive in another 50 to 60 years. We don't know.
You know, I'm all for rule changes if it's for, like, safety or if it's, you know, a structural kind of a thing. And, you know, there's reasons for it. You need to have a reason for it. You don't just change it, you know, because somebody's complaining about the time. Who? You know, where are all these people that are complaining about the time? And now all of a sudden people are hearing that it's time, and so they start complaining about the time because that's all they're hearing. Is everybody's complaining about the time? Who's here? Who? No one was complaining about the time until they told us on television that everybody's complaining about the time. You know, I don't know what's going on with baseball and these owners, but, you know, that's your league. You can change this stuff. You can say stop this crap. But the owners are obviously agreeing with it. And I'd just like to know why. I mean, aren't they paying attention to their low attendance? Are they paying attention to TV numbers aren't as high as they used to be? I mean, I remember Monday Night Baseball. There wasn't a home anywhere in America that wasn't tuned into Monday Night Baseball. You know? Saturday it was always on. I mean, and of course the World Series, you know. I don't know, man. The times are changing.
Well, I mean, Seth and I discussed this last, or we all discussed it last week. Seth brought it up. Almost any basketball game today, just go watch the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, any
like
basketball game, college
right
or pro.
That's what made it boring. I'm watching this and I'm going, two chop chop, there's the pace. It drove me nuts. I'm used to that slower baseball pace where everything slows down. The whole world just stops and it's a nice, slow, even, easy pace. Now they want to boom, 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 and we're done. What? You know, you need that time to go up and get a hot dog, go up and get a beer. You know, you come back and, so what, you missed a couple of batters, but did you miss anything? No. You know? But, I don't know. I don't know, I just can't adjust to the 20th century. I just can't. Ever since the 20th century, I can't tell one year from the next. 2000 and 2023 is the same friggin' year to me. Same year. I can't tell the difference. Honest to God. And I'm not changing. I'm stubborn. I'm German, which means I'm just as drunk, stubborn, and pissed off as the Irish. So it's not my fault. That didn't make me. But, I mean, I can't really be the only one who is, you know, noticing, you know, the way that the game is not, you know, nowhere near the same. And it's not the same as you were a kid when you enjoyed it, though, you know? Like, when you were growing up, Viper, I mean, you're watching games as a kid and you're enthralled, and it's completely different than it is when you're an adult. When you're a kid watching the games, it's completely different, you know, because you're a kid and you're just absorbing, you know, you've never really seen too much of it before because you're a kid. And so, you know, you're just absorbing it all, and it has a different feel to it. And it's more, you know, the excitement
right.
is. You know, when I was a kid going to Dodger Stadium, this was 1974. Pete Rose started a fight on second base. Johnny Bench hit me a home run. Sparky Anderson got kicked out of the game for arguing with every umpire like he always does. I mean, my team won. The Reds won. So those experiences, I'm glad I have them, but I feel sorry for the kids today. What are they experiencing? They're not learning the, you know, the mental part of the game. It's like, hey, you know, sit down and watch. You know, this guy, you know, is he going to throw a curveball? Is he going to do this? What they're doing? Oh, look at the signs over there. He's doing that. They're just taking all that out. It was just boring. You know, you don't want the game over in 2 hours. You didn't play anything. What? I don't know. There's nothing I can do to change it. But I just don't watch very much of it anymore, and it bothers me. And because last night, I wanted to watch opening night, but I missed it. So I thought last night, I said, okay, I'm going to watch me a game. But I turned it on. I didn't care what team it was on. I got my sports link. And the only game playing at the time was Mets and Marlins. So I turned it on, and right at the right time, at the very beginning, I was like, this is awful. I mean, there's no excitement. You know, there's no rivalries. I mean, the Red Sox and Yankees, that's a great rivalry. There's a lot of rivalries in baseball, and you just don't have that feel anymore. You know? I guess the testosterone is being removed. I guess that's what they're trying to do. Am I really that far off the mark, Viper? I mean, seriously.
No, I think that that's what you're describing is the endemic, what we could be viewing as the downfall of baseball, because it's become a product that doesn't fit the society as it is, the contemporary society right now. And I think that's the problem, is they're trying to make it fit that. And I don't know that it ever will. I mean, you could argue that baseball is the new soccer in America. I mean, why does soccer never catch people's imagination for decades? I mean, decades they said soccer is going to take off in America finally, and it still hasn't. For some, you know, it's gotten better, but it's still not as popular as it is overseas and in Europe and in South America.
Well, it is
because of the scoring. It's the scoring.
Well, they also
the
give
problem.
Extra time at the end, which is weird. But
well, yeah.
Look, it's just not an exciting game that people like to watch. For whatever
right, and that's unfortunately what baseball's become.
You know, you like to play it and have fun in your backyard, and your kids like to be in the league, and that's fun. And you watch your kids play, and that's fun. That's great. But to sit down and get the whole family, you know, glued to the TV, you know, at night, you know, and everybody's watching it and jumping up and down when their team scores. No, you don't get that. But you're right. I think baseball, you know, it's like, this is what I'm talking about. Why? How do these owners not see their league deteriorating? This is what I don't, and you don't need to be a purist to understand that you are taking elements and strategy and you're taking the game out of the game. How, I mean, why is time such a big to-do? I mean, you would get more advertising, you got more commercials being played, you know. Is it the advertisers that are saying, wait a minute, I can't afford it? Well, if you can't afford it, then you can't advertise. I mean, does that have something to do with it? I mean, is it all networks of players? Well, a lot of these teams have their own network, so it doesn't matter to them. So, again, why I can't figure out why time is the only factor, and why do these owners think that this time – and look, you got a longer game. Aren't you selling more concessions? Pretty sure you are. I mean, you got a 4-hour, 9-inning game with the Red Sox and Yankees. I mean, and they stopped selling beer after, like, the 7th inning or whatever. But still, you're going to be selling more hot dogs, more beer, more this, more that. I mean, how do they see that they're losing money?
The problem is it's – in the old days, it was the ticket prices and the hot dogs that made the money. In the modern era, it's advertising dollars and TV time. And the problem is, and you hit on it earlier, is that, you know, a game could last 4 hours. Well, you know, who wants to sit in front of their TV for 4 hours? Not many people even have the time to do that. So that's part of the reason they got this little pitch clock thing. The other problem you also highlighted, a lot of these teams have their own networks. Well, that means there's a lot of networks out there, which means there's massive increase in competition for viewership. It's not just baseball. It's baseball right now going against college basketball. It's going against, you know, the NFL network, the NHL network, the hockey playoffs. I mean, and there's just so much competition for viewership, and there's so little dollars put on the ticket prices and more on the ratings, that baseball's suffering from an increase of competition and a product that people aren't going to tune in for 4 hours for. And so they've got to do something. I don't know that they're making the right choices, but they've got to do something to make the sport of baseball more palatable. Otherwise, it's going to fall into a niche sport like soccer is, I think.
Yeah, well, we lost Seth. Hopefully he calls back. But, no, I mean, and this is what is so sad to me. Again, it's like losing your old dog, you know? I mean, what you had when you were a kid and those experiences, even when you were a young adult, and then even when I'm getting into my middle ages, and watching, you know, even in the 2000s, baseball was still great, man. I mean, the Yankees were still good, you know. And then all of a sudden, it just turned. And
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why. And what audience are they trying to attract? You know how you get the younger audience? You take care of the older audience. because the older audience is going to turn their kids into fans. Those kids are going to turn their friends into fans, and it's going to you're going to have lifelong fans. I mean, lifelong. Baseball used to have a very strong, you know, family fan base, and so you grew up watching the team. That was your team, man. And you know, not saying you didn't, you know, revolve the whole world around your team, but some people did. A lady I lived in Massapequa. She painted her house white with dark blue trim. Her car was white with dark blue trim. I mean, everything was Yankees. I mean, Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. And, you know, you don't see that anymore. You don't see the kids, you know, they're having a completely different experience than what we did. And I don't know, maybe the old timers, you know, maybe went through the same thing when they went, you know, from the 30s to the 60s. Well, things were a lot different in the 30s than it was in the 60s. It's only 30 years. You know what I'm saying? You know, but still,
well,
I don't, the game was still the game, though.
Well, and I think that it kind of opens the discussion that I can give you a lot of personal experience. In fact, I've been considering actually publishing a book. And I can tell you from experience of 30 years, okay? Let's use baseball as an example. When you and I were growing up, it was very easy to play baseball. And you look at what... You look at what the AYSO model was for soccer when we were growing up. You could play soccer, you could play it cheap, you could play in a lot of places. They had a lot of grassroots development, okay? One of the problems that baseball has is not just indicative of the sport itself. It's indicative of an erosion of youth sports development where – everything these days is about a kid getting a scholarship. Everything these days is about elite travel and corporate entities making big dollars off youth sports. The youth sports industry is a $22 billion industry. Speaking to you from someone who's been in it as a coach and now has a kid in it, and I can tell you right now, it's pretty frustrating. And every sport now has become elitist. There are no three-sport athletes anymore. Okay, if you don't specialize, you get left behind, unless you're the cream-of-the-crop gifted athlete that can do everything. And where baseball is suffering in its fan base, it's a multitude of issues, but one issue that never gets talked about is how do you become a baseball fan? I think you become a sports fan of anything by playing it as a kid. I mean, that's where you fall in love with a sport. You play the sport as a kid. I love baseball. I do. I was good at it. And nothing was better. There was no better feeling than the pureness of hitting a pitch right back up the middle where you didn't even feel it touch your bat. There's nothing better than
yep.
that. And there was nothing better than running out a ground ball and getting to first base when it should have been an automatic out. And there were so many things that made the experience great. And a lot of kids don't
you
get to do that
remember?
Anymore because they're
playing baseball all damn day long and the sun's
yeah.
going down and you're still playing. And we played baseball in the complete dark, throwing the baseball,
yep.
back, a baseball. And hitting it, and it was dark. We didn't have any lights. I mean, you know, the stars and this and that, but I mean, it was completely dark. And of course, you know, mom would find out and have a, you know, a hissy fit, but that kind of stuff, those memories of playing that game, and you're right, you hit on something that you've experienced it. Now, maybe you couldn't play it or whatever, but you still watch it on TV. Or, you know, but being in your backyard playing with all the neighborhood kids, I mean, how do you not fall in love? Those are memories that just don't go away. And I think those are missing. Kids don't play outside. They play indoors on the video game. How can you possibly get the kid out of the freaking house? you know?
Right.
Put the computer outside? Come on. And I don't know, you're a coach, you know, the collegiate level. These youth programs are like youth baseball, are they showing a decline? And because I remember when I was a kid, everybody played. They had a million teams. Everybody played. You know what I'm saying? So are they losing like teams like that and just only having only people that can play? And are they looking at these kids at young ages? Are these kids, basically what I'm saying is the guys that are coming into sports in the collegiate and professional level, are they being farmed? You know, like Russia used to do that, and West Germany used to do that with their athletes. You know, in China and Japan, they take these kids young and do nothing but train them 24/7. I mean, I don't think they're doing that here. I hope not. But
they still do that in Japan. But no, I think there's an erosion of youth sports in society where it's become too elitist. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is baseball's only problem. It's not. It's more an aggregate and holistic problem. But I do think it's a contributor because I love baseball. I don't watch as much as I used to, but I love going to a baseball game. Even if it's two teams I don't care about. And I just don't think if you didn't play or experience it growing up, even on a sandlot level, like you said, just playing in the neighborhood. Kids don't play in the neighborhood anymore. There is no open play anymore. Everything is organized sport. And if you can't afford it, you don't get to participate. And if you don't participate, you don't fall in love with it. And I think that's part of the problem with a shrinking fan base. And it's a problem that could be easily solved. But unfortunately, there's individual powers that be interfering and sabotage isn't the right word, but undermining that free play, open play kind of process.
I mean, are they?
I mean,
what's their motive? I mean, are they thinking money? Like, I finally got
it's all money
now.
Yeah, it's all well. It's think about AAU basketball. You know, it's all about money. AAU basketball, it's the dirtiest business out there. It's absolutely disgusting what AAU basketball is about. And you've got people that have no skill and no ability and no talent other than they're in the right place at the right time or they have the right gym and right building, and they're making decisions for kids' lives and thousands of dollars passing underneath the table. It's nauseating what it is. I mean, while we're on the topic, you know, Rick Pitino, who was ousted from Louisville, he was under FBI. He was under FBI investigation for racketeering. He was busted for getting prostitutes for recruits and the recruits' dads on visits. Okay. And he coaches at Iona in the MAAC, the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, you know, builds Iona into a good basketball team, and now St. John's hired him. St. John's hired him. This guy has more lives than a cat. How can someone hire him given his record? And that's why I have. Same thing with Kelvin Sampson at Houston. Houston got number one seed. This guy has broken rules everywhere he's gone.
Well, my question is, how is he allowed to get a job?
That's my point.
Do they not have any standards?
They don't. They don't care. They care about wins. They care about ratings. They care about TV money. And to the point where they've mortgaged their souls for this exact thing. And like I said, Rick Pitino is clearly a good coach. He wins everywhere he goes. And he wins without cheating, too. But where is the soul of athletics? Well, it's you wonder who's undermining it. It's the people with the money. And
well,
as you can see,
right
I have
there.
I probably could write a book on this.
It right there it is. It's right. It's the soul. That's what's happening. The soul of the game is being taken out by money. I mean, look, and that's what they do with the, like what you were talking about, the hookers for the dads. Well, they got to go after mama and daddy. They have to go after mommy and daddy and treat them right so they can tell son, hey, yeah, no, we're behind you 100%. And then they're basically just using these kids. And then when they're done, their usefulness is over. Okay, you're out. And these kids have a, you know, rude awakening. But you're right. These guys are getting fatter. And who, you know, whoever's in their wake gets skinny, period. And they don't care.
Yep.
And why is this game about money? I mean, yeah, everybody's got to make a couple of bucks. I'm not saying you can't. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, when you're paying a football player $50 million a year, I mean, seriously? And now we got, I mean, with this inflation and everything going on right now, and you think people are going, wait a minute. This guy sucks. He's not doing anything. He's sitting on the bench. He's throwing fits. He's not out there playing. He's not out producing. He's getting $50 million a year. I'm working two shifts eating bologna. This is ridiculous. Of course, you're going to get resentment. And you are starting to see a lot of people, I'm not watching the games anymore because of this crap. And, you know, I mean, how do these owners not see this? You see what I'm saying? How do you not see this? If you're a businessman, this is your business, and you're going, wait a minute. Who's giving them the bogus projections? Because it doesn't seem to be working, but maybe it is. I don't know. Again, where is all this money coming from? I mean, you're able to pay a guy $50 million a year? That's a lot of money, man. You know?
Yep.
For these teams to be getting all this money, I mean, advertising. You know, I mean, a lot of these companies have had to lay off, and a lot of them aren't making near as much money as before. So where are they getting all the money for this advertising? I mean, where is all this money coming from?
Yep. Yeah, it's a little bit of a shell game, I'll tell you. It's, but yeah, I literally could write a book with everything I know. And I'll
maybe
it's either firsthand experience.
Though.
Yeah.
No, you could. You could absolutely write a book on this, and I'd be a reader. Absolutely.
I mean, the stuff I know about NCAA athletics and the stuff I know about youth sports. I mean.
That's
don't get me wrong.
Topic.
I'm a free market guy all day long. I really am.
So am I.
I really am. But free market doesn't need to be controlled, but I do believe it needs to be regulated. And
absolutely.
Just like I think, you know, the athletes, you know, they deserve to make what they make. They're talented. They work hard. They sacrifice a lot in their personal lives. They sacrifice their bodies. But I also believe that it's got to be within reason. Salary cap, there is nothing in baseball. And they're never going to, unless their back's against the wall, they're never going to agree to it. So they're just going to continue to spend their money and spend the sport in oblivion until they do something about it. But, you know, I'm all in favor of free market, but you've got to have it regulated, otherwise it gets out of control. And I just think there's a lot of things that need to be have some oversight, have some regulation, have some rules in place, and you know it'll be manageable for a lot more people. But you know, baseball.
Well, I think the focus. It's the focus. They're only focused on the money. They're not really focused on the product. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If you're in business,
yep.
And you're trying to make, you're making a widget, okay? And you can care less the quality of the widget, but you're making money off of it. I mean, what are you really in business for? Why are you putting this team out on the field? What are you doing? Why are you here? And again, these owners don't seem to care. Maybe it's a tax write-off to some of these guys. I mean, you know, a lot of these owners could care less, and some of them really care. I mean, you're Jerry Joneses and, you know, that kind of alike. But even Jerry Jones is still agreeing to some of this crap, and some of these owners in baseball really care about the game. But maybe there's just too many corporations that actually own. I mean, Seattle Mariners was owned by a Japanese corporation. And see, that's what I don't like.
Yeah.
I think a professional sport should be owned by an individual, not a fucking corporation, period. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I was just screwed up and cussed, but that's all right. But you see what I'm saying?
Well, I'm like the Red Sox were on the stock market. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. When a corporation is buying a sports team, and again, that's why all these stadiums, you can't remember what stadiums, all these companies. I mean, that's ridiculous. The stadium is supposed to be named after, you know, somebody in the town, or somebody that meant something to the team, something that means something to the city. You got to have that pride. There's no pride in your team. I mean, I'm living in the wrong century, man. I'm telling you, I never made it to the 20th century. My body made it, but my mind didn't. My mind is not in the 20th century. It's just not here. 2023 doesn't even seem real to me. 2023, when I was a kid, I mean, that was like George Jetson, and, you know, it was like, I'm never going to, that's, I'm going to be 150 years old by the time that comes. No. You know, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't want to see the game, you know, completely destroyed. Because then how you get... But what they teach kids in school, and you're right, I mean, the school programs anymore, I don't know, maybe society is just changing, and I'm not changing with it. You know, I mean... Look how sports was.
Well, I think society has changed, but the sport needs – sports are trying to change with it, and it's really unpredictable in all honesty.
Yeah, but, I mean, even though you had different times from the early 1900s and then you went to World War I, then you had World War II, you know, then you had even Vietnam, you still had that same baseball. It still was the same game. Families still were growing up on the team. You know, kids get to go out with their pops and, you know, get a program and learn how to keep score. Those days, you don't know. Those are long, long gone. And that's why you don't have, you know, I mean, these younger fans, who are they really getting? And, you know, most of these front row tickets, those are corporate seats. They're giving out tickets to people for, you know, corporate gifts and their, you know, their tax write-offs for these tickets. And it's like, you know what, you don't really even belong here. What are you even doing here? Give up your seat for someone who actually, you know, would appreciate it. Sit on a phone the whole time. It's like, come on. I don't know. But, hey, look, I mean, even Yankee Stadium. They didn't sell out in a playoff game. That, I never saw that before. That was weird. It's like Yankee Stadium in the playoffs? And you're not selling out? That should have been a big wake-up call for Major League Baseball. It's like, come on, man. I mean, the Yankees, Yankees, you get close to postseason, and they might be close with the Red Sox, and they're still in the regular season. Every game is sold out, you know? You know, the fans aren't just – they're not coming out anymore. And one, they can't afford it. I mean, literally, you cannot afford a baseball ticket. A family of four, I mean, that's like a once-a-year event. You know, you got $1,500 you can take the family out to a ball game. By the time you get, you know, some hot dogs in you, peanuts and something to drink, and if you want to buy a program, and, you know, of course, your kids are crying, they want a banner, they want a hat, they want a something else, a baseball, a shirt. I mean, you're looking at 1,500 bills, and then parking, for God's sakes. And then the tickets itself, I mean, some of these tickets are, you know, a couple grand a piece. It's like, oof. But to take your family out to the game, no, you can't do that. Minor league baseball is even getting expensive, but minor league baseball used to be fun, man. You're still seeing really good baseball, and you're at the ballpark, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, and it, you know, it's a very nice, enjoyable day. You know, it's like going to the beach for a day. You know what I'm saying? But I want it over now. Well, it's so important. You
gotta, right.
You know, important places. You got an emergency brain surgery you got to do there, Doc? Huh? You know, where the hell you got to go? Well, I got to get home. I got to watch TikTok. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, I think it's just me not being able to get into the 21st century. But I don't really care. I'm not jumping in it. If this is the way it's going to be, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, well, I think there's certain things that are non-negotiable for sure.
Well, again, it's you don't really need to be a purist. You just need to have respect for the game, and I think that's what's missing. They're not respecting the game. They're only concerned, again, about your profit, and that's it. Well, you can have the game without the business. You just can't have the business without the game. So,
right.
But now they're losing the game without the business because, you know, we were talking about, you're not seeing kids playing in the backyard. I mean, we were kids, that's all we did. We played in the backyard. There, you know, you wanted to play, you played. And I lived in Washington State where it rained. So if you wanted to play, you played in the rain. You know, and there was nothing like playing baseball in the rain. I mean, you know, when you're out your kid, you love it because you get to slide in mud because your mother hates it and you get in trouble. But when you're a kid, there's nothing like sliding into mud. You know what I mean? But
right.
Like in Bull Durham, remember when they turned the lights on to slide in the mud? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun. You know. In the rain, sliding. Yeah, we did that, you know. But now,
well, they turned the sprinklers on. Yeah,
right. I mean, they turned the sprinklers on, but it's the same effect. You know, you're getting wet and you're getting muddy. You know, I don't know anymore. I mean, I just really don't know. Well, I finally got this link, and yeah, FAU looks like they're pretty much taking control. I think this team might go all the way. Well, we'll find out, though. We'll find out with this next game. You know, I mean, if you got a real strong showing of another game, then you're like, okay. There's nothing like a good championship where it does come down to the wire. You know, but I do think college basketball, yeah, even though you don't have to watch it, you can watch the last 5 minutes. But still, in college basketball, it could be kind of fun because it's, you know, they almost seem like they're playing for a different reason. You know what I'm saying? They're playing with more, I don't want to say heart, but they're just playing for a different, you know, a different psychological reason. You see what I'm saying? And you know, and the audience can pick up on it. And they're playing free with no cares. They're just, you know, they're just playing free, more free. And again, minor league baseball was always kind of like that too. But I mean, it was pretty. These guys were fighting for a job, but I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely a complex problem that's not easily solved by name image likeness. It's not solved by a pitch clock. You know, these are complex issues that are not easily addressed. And I don't know that anyone on this show or any other podcast or show out there is going to be able to solve it. It's just too complex.
No.
But somewhere along the line, there might be some answers to make it better.
Well, it's just there's too much money involved. So now it's a vicious circle. You're not gonna break it unless it goes bust. You see what I'm saying? The only way to break this is the league has to go completely bust, and that's going to destroy the game. It's over.
Right.
And see, that's what I don't want to see. You know, college sports. I mean, if they keep up, I mean, they're going to ruin college sports. I mean, look how much money.
Well, and I think
college football.
I think in a way they already have. It's kind of gone down that road with the NIL, the transfer portal, and, you know, on one hand the portal's good. On the other hand, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad I don't coach anymore. I'm glad I don't have to worry every year about who I have to replace because they're transferring out. And, like, even, you know, Juwan Howard is at Michigan is losing his best player. He entered the transfer portal yesterday. Got one more year eligibility left. And how do you predict this stuff? How do you predict, you know, when you're going to lose your best player or when, you know, you're going to get that player that's going to turn your program around from somewhere else? And, I mean, it's just gotten completely out of control. And some days it works and some days it doesn't.
I'm listening to this and it's just like, again, I just can't understand how people cannot foresee what is coming ahead. How can you not see what you're doing is destructive? Is it deliberate? I mean, is there some kind of sinister, sick, twisted, mad design? And why? You know, I mean, well, this money, I mean, they say money is the root of all evil. Well, you know, it could be true. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, what they're doing to these college kids, you know, and then they're getting paid. And then, I mean, good for them that they're getting paid. But, I mean, and you've got these transfers. This is another thing. I mean, you never saw a guy rarely would transfer. They went to a college, even there for 4 years. But no, okay, I'm going to get a better program, get a better deal. I'm going over here. It's like they're being traded. They're already in the pros and being, you know, a free agent. I can go here. I can go there. Well,
right.
You know, maybe I don't know if the college really wants to, you know, think about this. But how do you really make a rule that, no, you sign up for this college, you know, you get a scholarship. Well, you're there for 4 years. And if you want to transfer, fine, you can transfer, but you don't get a scholarship, so you're going to have to pay for it on your own. Now, can you do that? That would, you know, that would discriminate against guys that really deserve to go somewhere else because the program crapped out. And they go like, hey, wait a minute, I got to go, you know, somewhere else. You know, I'm taking this, you know, NFL serious, and, you know, I want to get in, and now this league, my school just may have dismantled, or maybe the league just fell apart. The coach was, you know, crazy, and whatever the reason. So how do you regulate that? You know, they made it too easy to transfer. Maybe they should make it more difficult. But how do you do that? You know what I'm saying? Well, we're 60-65 now. Bye, young man.
All right. Well, hey, I've got to go. I've got a small emergency here, but we'll see you guys next week. It's all you, Skeet. I don't know where Seth went to.
Well, we got 5 minutes left anyway, so I'll wrap it up. Don't worry about it. All right. All right. Bye,
all right.
Have a good night.
All right. Okay, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next week.